Tracy Lawrence is a country music superstar. He's a legend and he's a friend. And we have a very cool conversation with him at the end of the podcast, right after the closing jingle, where we go in a couple directions I didn't expect. We were thinking we were going to talk nothing but his album, Hindsight 2020, Volume 2, The Price of Fame. And you'll see, it kind of was like, it got deep for a little bit. Again, that's after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
I was just mumbling in the back.
Carson just gone, podcast.
Well, ever since it didn't feed that one time, I'm so afraid it's going to, because I can't carry a tune in a bucket.
The board wasn't feeding the camera, so you couldn't hear the song. You could just hear us going, podcast, podcast. Like morons.
Well, there's a reason we sound like that now. Because, oh, well, so the podcast gold today came from us from one of the coolest kids this week.
Can I get some swag?
Oh, yeah, I love great. That so much.
That's a good kid, man.
And by the way, we've already said that was the only time that's going to work. Yeah, that is not going to work again.
We first did send much. Him some stuff.
Yeah, we
he got his swag.
Can I get some swag?
But never
I'm
again.
Not doing that again. Don't call in and get your and we said kid it, to ask for swag.
We said it immediately. We're like, okay, this is not going to work. This is only working one time, only because this
he's
kid's
the first
cute
one who did it.
And smart. Aww. And immediately, like within an hour, we had several other people trying it. We're like, what are you doing? Like,
y'all not here where we told him he was the only one?
And the thing is that it was a grown dude. Like, hey, man, I give
me
some swag.
No.
Go buy it because you're an adult.
I had parents call an old radio station of mine to complain about me. Surprise that I had an attitude because I was out at a car show and their child came up and asked for a t-shirt. And, you know, radio t-shirts are gold at some places. Like, yeah, they only have two and they're like, don't give them away.
Yeah.
And so I said to the kid, hey, who does mornings on my station? I don't know. Okay, fine. And so the parents come over. I'm like, well, can you tell me who does mornings? We don't live here. We don't listen. And I go, well, then
why
do you want a t-shirt?
Would we give you a t-shirt?
Well, they remembered the name. They apparently looked us up on Google and then called to complain about how horrible I was.
I hope your boss went, you don't live here and you don't listen.
So. Yeah, my boss laughed and he's like, yeah, okay, I'll get on that.
Yeah, so that is actually a thing where people like to go to radio broadcasts and get the free stuff from the radio station, and they're not listeners. They're not from there, and that's not a one-time thing. How many hundreds of times have we done events where people come up and they're like, you give them something. They walk up, hey, can I have a shirt? Yeah, absolutely. Right. Nice to meet you. And what's up? Oh, I'm from Anchorage, Alaska. This is my first time in town. You're like, why do you want my shirt?
Thanks.
I could have gave it to somebody who would become a listener. Yes.
And you know it's going to be at the local Goodwill at Anchorage in about 5 months.
Which would be a cool place to go.
They're not going to wear it.
I need to go to Anchorage.
Well, same.
I will go to Anchorage and look through the Goodwill to see all the station shirts from around the country.
Shirts. By the way, do I look giddy? Because I am pretty like.
Well, you've had a lot of Red Bull
today. It's not
today.
Just that. I am leaving from here to go to the airport to pick up my favorite singer from my favorite band, who I booked to come to town to play I basically got this guy to come out of retirement to come and perform a show.
Tell this story. This is crazy.
There's a band that I'm the only one who cares about called Flickerstick.
Apparently not.
Yes. I took the chance that there were other crazy people like me that would know this.
So you have to back up. Who is Flickerstick
so
for those who don't?
It's 20 years ago. Flickerstick was on a TV show called Bands on the Run. This is before American Idol, before The Voice, America's Got Talent, any of that. Survivor was the only reality TV show. So they basically did like Survivor with bands. They put them in vans and sent them around the country to play shows against each other in different cities. And they would try to sell merch and sell tickets, and then there would be a battle of bands. Flickerstick won the show. All right. They were next level famous for a new rock band. Like, no one had ever seen anything like it. They got $100,000 of equipment, which is enough to make anybody sound professional. they got a video in heavy rotation on VH1, and they got a showcase for record labels. Well, they had a bidding war between the record labels over who was going to sign them. Because the guy from Epic Records who eventually signed them told them that you're famous. Like, we have bands that have had radio hits for 10 years, and no one knows the bass player's name. But they know every member of the band because they were famous. They were TV famous.
Yeah, they were from mm-hmm. that reality show.
They had a great record. All Epic did was remix it and hire like these famous producers to come in and remaster it. So that was good. And they had an incredible live show. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a show in Manhattan. They booked a place called Irving Plaza. They sold it out right away. 1,200 people. Like, who sells out 1,200 tickets and they don't have a song on the radio? So we got to do this show so everybody at Sony Music can see it. So they get like the chairman and the president are coming, the A&R team, the marketing people. Everybody's going to be at this show so they can see this incredible live show. And then we're going to make these guys superstars. And they all were supposed to show up at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, September 11th, 2001, at Irving Plaza.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And it never happened.
And their career, what?
4 weeks later, Sony and BMG, these two big record labels, merged. They fired half the A&R people at Sony, including the team that signed Flickerstick. Their single was never pushed to radio. By the time their album came out in November, they were already negotiating for their release from the label. It was over before it started. There was the
because of 9/11.
Yep. This is the biggest band that never was.
They were going to be like Coldplay back then.
It was going to be massive.
Oh, but good.
I loved them.
I actually like Coldplay. The slow songs.
Of course you do.
I saw them. Wow, that was amazing, Carson. That was so great.
And I like Nickelback.
Carson?
I'm okay with Nickelback.
Okay,
They're fine. That's right.
Wow. So, good. Yeah.
People crap on Nickelback, but you know what? There's some
it's just
songs.
Easy to say that to Bubba because he likes everything.
I don't like everything.
But no, they broke up like 12 years ago. They all quit music. Like, none of them work in, you know, as musicians anymore. So this guy is a sound engineer, and he plays in Dallas. Like, he does little shows and open mics, and then he's done a couple of things. And he was in another band, but they never really, you know, left the state. So he hasn't played a ticketed show outside of Dallas in 12 years, 10 years.
That's pretty fascinating. Wow. I mean, the whole thing is crazy because of the way it all timed out with 9/11 and all of that.
It's a
and
great
the
story. I've been trying to get somebody to write that story, like the
That's
biggest
like a
band
movie.
That never was. I've tried. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who works for Rolling Stone, and I was like, you should write this story. And she's like, I will. But then, nothing. Well, 2 years ago, right before COVID, a friend of mine said, you know, Brandon went to Pennsylvania and he played a show, a private party, and like they paid him $500 and a plane ticket and a hotel room or something like that, and he just went and sang Flickerstick songs for an hour. I'm just crazy enough to go, wait a minute, you mean for like $1,000 I can get my favorite singer from my favorite band to come to town and play at a party? And they were like, yeah, maybe a little more than that, but yeah, probably. I immediately thought, well, if I'm going to do that, I know enough people in this. Like, I'm just going to book a club and pay the production fee and sell tickets. And maybe there's 100 people who are as crazy as me who would come from. People are coming from 17 different states to come to that I counted so far to come to this show.
That's like crazy. People. So I wonder if this would work with, you know, like there's certain country stars that have disappeared in the past that I love. And I wonder if something like this could be done with one of my favorites and have them come and do a show. I mean, I don't even care if anybody goes. I would just like to see certain people live.
That, at one point, my wife said, what if only 30 people buy tickets? Because I needed like 75 tickets to break even. She's like, what if only 30, 40 people buy tickets? I'm like, I'm going to go to that show, and there's going to be 40 people that are going to be diehard Flickerstick fans, and we're going to sing every song and sit here and listen to this guy who we haven't seen in 10 years sing those songs to us. It's going to be awesome. And if I lost $600-$700, it was the best $600 I spent. Yeah, I'd probably lose that playing poker.
I was
going to
say,
night.
You spend more than that on a birthday party for yourself.
Yeah, not really.
You know what, though? But even, let's say you're out $700. Mm-hmm. Do you know the amount of people that pay $700 for front row tickets for their favorite band?
Their favorite
and you're getting to pick this guy up at the airport.
I know, I'm like,
you're like friends with him now.
Yeah.
If you paid $700 to be his friend, great.
What if 100 people show up tomorrow night at this show and he remembers that people care and that he's good at this.
And he comes out of retirement
and all
that. And he says,
you know what? I'm going to get whoever, like maybe he can't get the whole band back together. We didn't get enough of them and put a band together and call it Flickerstick and go out. I mean, dude, their band's touring with like one original member.
Yeah.
That isn't the lead singer. This guy's the lead singer. So if he put a band together and said, this is the new Flickerstick, and we're going out on the road, we're going to play Flickerstick
songs. And what I'm hearing
songs.
Is Patrick will manage them.
I don't want to manage a band.
I think there's, you know, there's something to this whole thing because, you know, I've said it for years, and a lot of people argue with me that I'm an idiot. But, you know, a lot of people think that anyway. I think whenever a band loses their lead singer, it's not the same band anymore.
No, it's not.
You know, Van Halen might be one of the few bands that was able to transcend that changeover. There's maybe a handful of others, but most of the time, when the lead singer leaves or they fire the lead singer, whatever it may be, it's just not the same. They never recover. It's nowhere near the same band as it was.
It's not, but you have bands like Foreigner that are still selling out arenas on package tours, Journey.
But
you've
Lou
got
Graham
Styx.
Is the reason people go to the Foreigner shows. They still love...
No, they still love the music. You ask it's most the people there, they don't know who.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know who.
And Lou Graham's not... Yeah. I mean, it's Kelly Hansen, but Lou Graham is not... He's actually sat out some shows when he's had health issues. And so literally, you're watching a Foreigner cover band.
But it's called Foreigner.
But it's fun.
That's what I think, though. Anytime you go to see those bands, it's a cover band. Even if it's got four of the original five, if it's not the lead singer, it's a cover band.
Yeah, but why should my income be impacted because Dennis DeYoung wasn't nice? Because he was.
That's a Styx joke.
That's a Styx. Well, I'm
for
just saying.
Nobody who was watching this who got that.
Okay, but, yeah. let's go to. And I love everybody in the band Lone Star. Mm-hmm. I think they're unbelievably talented and amazing people. I also love Richie McDonald. I love John Rich. The bands change. When you change singers like that, when you go to different people, and they had that guy who kind of sounded like Keith Urban for a while. I forget his name. He was really good. They were a great band, but it wasn't Lone Star to me because it wasn't like John or Richie singing.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings on this. So,
hey, you're gonna are you filming?
Oh, we're gonna stream it. Yeah.
No. What do you have someone filming? Shooting it?
No,
film?
I don't. Why? No,
because it's a documentary. It's this is a.
Oh, that's such a good idea, dude.
Like you should have been.
Yeah.
Filming
this whole time,
the whole
like
time.
You in your
Man,
office,
yeah,
talking negotiating.
To him. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't.
Can thing you fake
is,
all that?
Yes. Probably. The thing After is, the though, I we've sold enough tickets to make this a success, but. Most people, when I bring it up and I tell the truth, most people don't remember. And I went to shows. I went to the House of Blues in New Orleans where it was sold out to see Flickerstick. This wasn't their hometown. This was, you know, 9-10 hours away from Dallas. And it was complete. And this is a band that had no songs on the radio playing sold out shows, not just right after the show ended, but a year later, the show was sold out. And so there were people, there were, you know, I don't know how many people the House of Blues holds, 1,500, that bought tickets to go see this band, and it was an incredible show, and everybody had, but nobody seems to remember. People have a very short attention span, and 20 years is a long time.
Do you
when
also
a band
think
just
it was
disappeared?
Do you also think it was because they don't remember because 9/11 happened, and that was such a national distraction?
And also, music changed. It went from you listen to CDs, you listen to the radio only, to now nobody buys CDs. People listen to the radio and they listen to their songs that instead of buying them, they listen on Spotify, Apple, even iTunes before. Streaming, when you would download, none of Flickerstick's songs were ever available. Their big album, the one that came out on Epic Records, was never available for download because it was from before that. And so Epic never put it out. And so it was never been available on streaming until like 6 weeks ago when they finally got the rights back to their album and they put it out themselves on all the streaming services. So that was what kind of started this conversation again. Maybe it was about 10 weeks ago.
And I want to say it was me who told you. I said, dude, look, I ran across Flickerstick. And you were like, where?
No, but I knew it was coming. I mean, I might not have known you
He's
saw it.
He's in the
but
groups.
Yeah, dude, I'm on all the groups.
Not only that, Patrick used to be the street team guy. Like, you
I
always
was
know,
on
like,
the street team.
Yeah, that's a big, it. Not just on
they
the street team.
Me,
you were the
no,
street
I would,
team,
no,
I thought.
No, no, no. I was like I don't know. I was like their point person in the city that I lived in.
Okay.
But they'd send, right. They'd be coming to town. They'd send me posters.
It's called Grand Nerd.
Grand Nerd.
Or
yes.
Or it was Grand Nerd.
Or your nerdness. It's, you know, get it right.
So it's so tickets have been good.
Tickets have been good. I mean, it's not going to be sold out, I don't think, unless there's a huge walk up. But we're going to have enough people that I'm not going to lose money, and he's going to feel good about it.
Will you cry? You think?
I will probably.
I
cry.
Will be filming Patrick.
Carson will be
watching.
Filming me.
Are you going?
Carson is going.
Yes,
Carson is
going
to be working the merch table.
Yes. What? I got drafted. Oh, I got drafted to sell.
She's in. She's
not
going
to be the merch girl.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm a little upset you didn't ask Big D and I to participate.
What's up with that?
Oh, y'all want to come to the show?
I want to be a bouncer.
I got stuff to do.
You'd make a great bouncer.
You would be such a good bouncer. I want D there checking the list.
Yeah.
You're on will call? Okay. What's your name?
What's your name? That's not how it's spelled on this list, sir.
I'll be out there going, hey, man. Hey, come on. You want to go see a show? Yeah. There's some people in here. We need to fill it up. Let's go.
Let's go.
By the way, you said it's not spelled right. I had a friend who got booted off of a flight very recently by TSA because
misspelled his, on the ticket.
No. His name is Joe. just Joe, and on his license it's Joseph. And
oh
so my
gosh,
brother
yes.
booked the ticket for this guy, and he just put, everybody calls him Joe, he put Joe, and then booked the ticket. Well, Joe goes to get through security. They're like, sorry, it's the wrong name. And he's like, it's Joe, Joseph, Joe. And they're like, sorry, no. He was a day later because of this.
You can't give people that much power. Like, that's just somebody just using the little bit of power they have to ruin somebody else's day to make them
who
feel
in
better.
America doesn't know that Joe is short for Joseph?
They know.
Your Paul brother who didn't write it correctly on the ticket.
That's true.
Also, Paul Blart. Stop that.
What's that?
Paul Blart.
Oh, yeah. That's who does it.
Mall cop.
That's who it is. A mall cop.
Yep.
That's basically what it is.
Well, that's exciting, man. It's your night tonight. What are you going to wear?
It's tomorrow night. I don't know what I'm going to wear.
Clothing.
I'm not going to
laugh at that, Carson.
Because it's such a girl thing. And yet I can see Patrick planning a wardrobe.
I'm actually going to plan my outfit. No, one of my buddies goes.
Are you really? It's been laid out for a week.
I'm not.
Don't touch those clothes.
My buddy Damien goes, I wish, man, I used to wear my Flicker Stick shirt all the time. And I wore it so much that it wore out. And then, you know, you wear and wash and wear and wash. And then it's like, it's rags now. And he's like, I would have worn that to the show. And I'm like, dude, if I knew where my Flicker Stick shirts were from 20 years ago, there ain't no way I could wear them. I'm like,
them.
I hate
You'd have
anybody
to cut
who
them in
shows
half
up.
And sew
oh,
them.
Yeah, sew them to you. Oh, Carson, if I get you this old shirt, can you make it part of a bigger
like
shirt?
Frankenstein?
Oh, I might actually.
Or you know what we can do? We can take if you have a Flicker Stick shirt and you have the logo and stuff, I can actually cut that out and I can put it on a different shirt and make the like embroidery around it real cool and stuff.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
What's this guy's feelings? What's the guy? What's his name?
Brandon.
So Brandon, I kind of feel for him. Like,
that's
like,
a crazy. He's down and out. He should have been.
I mean, look, Brandon lives his life. He's got a great job. He runs sound for Dickie's Arena in Fort Worth and a bunch of clubs. And you know,
where are his expectations?
When I told him I was expecting between 75 and 100 people, he was like, really? And I said, oh, yeah. He's like, from Nashville? I went, oh, no, dude. People are flying in from as far away as That's Miami, awesome. California. People are coming from Maine. People are coming from everywhere to see this show because you haven't played a show that was close enough for them. You know, Nashville is a one-day drive from half the population of the United States. That's why the music industry, that's one of the reasons the music industry is based there, the touring companies and stuff, because it's so easy to get to a lot of people from Nashville. So a lot of people can get to Nashville. It's a great place to have a show like this.
Yeah.
Also, I live here and I set it up. So that's why it's happening.
You know? I kind of am sad that we didn't talk about this on the show. Like, we didn't talk about it because it was kind of like your little side
thing.
You were so excited about
it. It's not country. I know nobody cares.
But the story is fascinating.
I do. I think what you've done is incredible.
Carson is as big a fan of music as me, and she's a a super nerd for concerts and stuff. And so she's been my person that I bounce this stuff off of, and it's been super helpful, and I thank you for that. And but she said, I wish. So one of the guys I play poker with goes, I wish I could book my favorite singer from my favorite band to come back and play a show. He goes, but it would cost me a whole lot more money than it's costing you. I'm like, yeah, I, you know.
I just see it
we
as
took a chance to do it.
This is one of those documentaries that you run across on Netflix unexpectedly, and it becomes a huge hit.
Yeah.
Well,
because it's such a great story.
If the show goes well, I don't think it'll be the last show. And I don't think, and I think there's a chance we can maybe talk him into, like, hey, man, put a band together. Go out and do actual rock music.
So is he going to do, like, an acoustic set?
It's going to be him and a guitar. Not really acoustic. He plays electric guitar plugged into a thing. And then there's a girl.
They're called amps.
No, it's plugged into a soundboard. It gives different
effects.
I'm
just being silly.
And then this girl, Ansley, who lives here, she used to be in a different band with him, so she's going to sing backups and play keyboards just to kind of fill it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really going to be, I think, the crowd singing along with every – I mean, people are just so amped up. My favorite story is there's a girl. Her name is Taylor, and she put a post on one of the groups, and she's 27 years old. So that when Flickerstick broke up, she was like 15. And when they were in their heyday, she was 7. And she said, I never saw this band. My parents used to listen to this band, and I have all these wonderful memories from my childhood, and then my parents later got divorced. And so that's my – I remember how much I loved this music and how much my parents both loved this music, and I never got to see Flickerstick live. And I thought that every ticket
– You're
gonna make us cry. Dude, I thought that every ticket I sold was going to be to somebody like me who was like, one more shot at reliving my 20s. Like, let's go. We're going to go and see Flickerstick or at least Brandon again and sing the same songs again. And here's this girl who has never thought she would get to see Flickerstick. And at least she's going to know every song. She knows all of it. She's a super fan.
And unlike you, Kyle, yeah, you're right. It is. Unlike you, where you're like, I get to see my favorite singer.
No,
she's
gone.
She's thinking in her head, I'm going
to
go back and relive my childhood, my
happy
times.
Moments from my childhood.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, oh, somebody needs to be filming this, Patrick.
Man, like someone needs to write the story. Do you know how many journalists I reached out to try to say, this is a great story?
Yeah.
Write it yourself.
I can tell.
Well, we got one coming.
Yes, we do.
We have one coming.
We have a friend of ours who's a freelance writer for a bunch of magazines is coming, and she wants to see it, and she wants to maybe talk to Brandon after.
You write the story with that person, then you guys turn it to a screenplay, and then y'all do it.
I can tell a good story. I just sucked you all in by telling the story, but I can't write it. It's not my thing.
Well, I made dinner reservations for afterwards for a big group, so if he wants to join and talk with her, because she'll be coming to dinner with me.
That's great. Let's
I was invited to go out with a bud tonight, and maybe I might just happen to...
It's tomorrow night.
Well, dang it. Yeah, you threw me when you said tonight earlier. Well, I was going to say, maybe I could do it, but I can't.
If you're curious about this...
I can go. I'm not.
You're not
going
to go, but that's fine.
I would like to go just to be a part of this story now. I'm like, I'm invested.
Yeah, somebody should film this, D. If only I knew somebody who was good with cameras...
Who was amazing.
...and videos.
Yeah, if only you knew someone.
If only I knew some very large man to my left that was good at that sort of thing.
Do you know, though, I called a friend of mine. I've been inviting a bunch of my friends, saying, hey, this was a fun thing. Patrick's putting it on. And I called one of them today... And I said, yeah, I don't know if you remember this band, but they had the show on VH1. They're called Flickerstick. And he goes, Bands on the Run? And I, because he's a pop culture junkie. And so he's like, I'm coming. He doesn't know a single song they do, but he remembers the name and he's going to want a picture.
Where's the show at?
It's at a place called The Five Spot in East Nashville. All the details are on my Facebook page or my Twitter, all that at Radio Patrick. If you're curious about this, you know, hit me up. I'll tell you the details. But
if I go, do I have to like wait in line? Because, you know, I don't want to go in line.
I don't think there's going to be a long line to get in.
Well, I mean, it might be now. People might be moved by this story.
I don't want to brag, but I get to go early.
Yeah, Carson's going early for sound check so she can help us sell merch. We have limited edition posters.
So I'll bring my Canon 5D.
Yeah.
I'll bring my Canon 5D Mark II, and we'll shoot. And we'll bring two different lenses so we can get like a 50 millimeter and then a good prime lens.
See, he's making fun, but he might show up. You don't know. You never know with D.
Dude, I'll go and shoot.
Meanwhile, LSU Alabama is at 6 o'clock tomorrow, so there's absolutely
never
no
mind.
Chance Big D is leaving his house.
Oh, are you kidding me? I know how that's going to end. Why would I?
Oh, that's true. That's why Vivica said, are you going to miss the LSU Alabama game? I'm doing myself a favor, dear.
And you're like, I hope so.
I'm like, I hope so. I hope it's not on a TV anywhere in that bar, and I hope
hey,
I forget
know.
That my phone can pull it up. I don't want to see it.
You do know that back 30-something years ago, there was a huge upset. It was a LSU Alabama upset. Very similar spread about, was it 28?
I know.
And they won. Happens. It happens. It does happen.
It could happen.
What is Alabama favored by?
Like 28.
You said 28?
Yeah.
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 28. Mm-hmm. And it probably it could be more by the time. I'll be there at your show.
I'm doing you a favor, buddy. I'm keeping you from watching that.
This could be a fun date night.
Yeah.
I mean, just let me know. I'll put you on the list. Okay. Well, I would do that.
I would.
You can fork over $20.
I'm making my friends pay.
Yeah, Carson's on the list because she's doing merch. So she's making her friends pay.
If I buy a ticket, does it support you or does it support him?
It gets us closer to breaking even. Everything after that, I'm actually going to split with him. So I might actually make money on this.
Are you doing the pickle jar thing? The
pickle jar is because they're friends of ours from the show. They are the ones who helped me. I was like, hey, you said people will be able to sell tickets with this one day. Could you get that ready so we can sell tickets for my show? He's like, yeah, we can do that. So we sold all the tickets.
So you're
kind of
like the
Live.
Beta test.
Yeah. We're like the second show they listed to sell on Pickle Jar Live. And you know what they charge for a $20 ticket? 75 cents.
Nice.
75 cents service fee.
That's super cheap for service fees.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm a Pickle Jar fan.
And then you can get on stage and like say, hey, you can tip through the app.
It's going to be streaming there at Pickle Jar Live. Yeah. So people who can't make it, people in other cities will be able to watch and they
can tip. What if this blows up online and like people in Japan and stuff are watching? And
I don't think in Japan. I don't think Flicker Stick was huge in Japan.
They might
be.
They
were big in England and it'll only be like midnight there. So maybe people would be watching.
Dude, Bubba, don't you see the whole image in your head that YouTube video when they're on top of that?
Where the streets have no name?
Yeah, in Los Angeles. And you got Rick D's going, well, it's okay. Fucking go in and try you too. Remember all that? It's super cool. That video, I love
it. It's not going to be anything like that. But it's going to be fun.
I think it's a really cool thing, and I'm actually wanting to go now. It's funny. I didn't know the whole story.
He called me yesterday, and he said, "Yeah, I've been working on the set list, and I've been rehearsing, and it was everything I could do not to go. What is on the set list?" And I
said, "Did you not make requests?"
I did. I said, "Listen,
okay, good.
I don't want to be that guy, but can I make one request?" And I told him my favorite song, and he said, "Oh, dude, that's one of my favorite songs. I always sing that." I'm like, "I'm good." Although maybe I should have requested something else because he was already going to play that.
You should also have him do happy birthday to Patrick, and I'll tell you why.
It's not my birthday.
I know it's not your birthday, but next year it will be, and we can play the recording, and you'll be like,
I'm going to try to get him to come in here after the show before he leaves on Sunday and do a podcast with me, and that'll be me launching season two of my podcast.
Five Whiskey Patrick.
I'll interview Brandon Lee of Flicker Stick. No, he doesn't, but I don't care. I'm going to talk to him about Flicker Stick, and it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited. Oh, one other thing. After I booked the show, like, had no idea. And after it was done and the papers are signed and this is the date, I wonder, that album came out in 2001. I wonder when it came out. November 6th, 2001, 20 years ago to the day tomorrow. So it's the 20th anniversary of their debut album coming out. And none of us knew that. Brandon didn't know either. So it's meant to happen.
No one else going to know the story because you didn't do a documentary on it, so...
I'm going to make a thing out of it. I'm telling you. I don't know how, but there's a story here.
I think it's got to be.
We just did this podcast and like tens of people.
We know people who do documentaries. Yeah. You can send a text.
Hit me up.
I'm debating. I know a guy, and if I could get him in town, if I call him this afternoon.
If it's a great story, have him just listen to this podcast. And
it's really late now for that.
It's really late for that kind of stuff. Yeah. Y'all adding a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of gear and a lot of stuff.
It's fine.
But you need to have someone who has some sort of a video, a camera that's just rolling.
A good camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe set up a static that can just go, that you don't have to worry about. And just let it
on the show because that we will use the stream video for that. Pickle Jar is sending a team to do it, so it's going to be good.
And then,
it's going to be like board audio and everything.
Board audio.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good stream.
Okay, good. Well, then you'll have some.
We'll have some stuff.
There you go.
And have some footage there, and then maybe after the show, maybe I take it upon myself to interview Patrick for a couple of minutes. Maybe I interview Brandon, and just hold my phone up. I know it's not.
Yeah. That's the same thing. And just interview people who are there.
Make sure it's landscape, sideways, and not portrait.
Correct.
I know portraits, not TikTok style people. If you're trying to make a documentary to land somewhere, it needs to be.
We're gonna do hamburger.
I legit have to go because I'm picking up Brandon at the airport.
Oh my gosh!
This is going to happen.
Are you holding up a little sign?
I'm holding Brandon. Just
that's pretty cool, man.
And, I'm really excited. Thank you all for letting me tell the story.
Shout out to British Rob, too, for doing the concert
Rob, who
posters.
Did the posters.
Yeah, it looks great.
Like, and they look amazing. Hang on.
He used a thumbnail, a little like the, you'll see here in a sec. Patrick will tell you the whole.
Yeah. All we had was this tiny picture. Because I asked Brandon, I'm like, do you have any pictures you know you own the rights to? And he's like, I just have this one little bitty picture. So Rob was like, I can work with that. And so he made this poster. I don't know if I'm holding that in a place where...
Yeah, that looks great.
And like the dots from blowing it up, it could have looked super pixelated, but
no,
instead
he made it look
like
an old newspaper photo.
Such a great job.
So we're going to have posters, commemorative posters to sell.
They're going
to
be numbered.
Carson's going to hand number all the limited person posters.
Only 50 available.
That's right.
QVC Carson's going to be there.
What you see here is 100-pound cardstock. And with
20
nice
years ago
finish.
To the day.
20 years ago to the day. It even says that at the bottom. It says the 20th anniversary of their album. So
yeah.
I'm such a nerd.
All right,
this
go to the airport,
so
dude.
I'm going to the airport.
Take your time. Go slow. Don't get in a hurry. I don't want you to get too excited. Slow it down, bro. I'm so excited for Patrick.
Isn't it the coolest thing?
Like, seriously.
I he's living my dream.
Dude, this would be like so me cool. Hanging out with Lyle Lovett for the day, for the weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we could top this. I mean, we pretty much
are.
I'm really kind of like really torn on whether or not I want to go shoot this now.
I wish you would.
I know
it's a lot to ask.
Dude,
but...
if you need a second person, I'll go.
There is a parking lot right around the corner.
Well,
I have
something going on. I do have plans, but I think it's worth, for as cool as this is, like I didn't realize the story and everything that kind of went on. I mean, dude, to have somebody's career completely sidelined by what went on 20 years ago, 9/11, and everything they built up, everything they worked for, everything they've earned. To just go to like that.
I mean, also for Patrick to turn around and say, you know what?
We still care.
I want to do this. And I know it hasn't been done. I'm going to see if I can. All he did was ask, can I? And just the doors kept opening. And look what he's accomplished. I think I'm so impressed by this.
Yeah.
What if he gets on stage? Brandon guy gets on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, Flickerstick. And he walks out there and he stops. Everyone stops clapping. And he just breaks down crying.
Aww.
And he's like, I can't believe you're here for me.
I wonder if he'll get emotional because I bet he will.
How could you not?
I know.
Patrick, don't let him hear Patrick will be listening to this. Don't let him hear the podcast because we don't want him to know how emotionally charged this whole thing is.
Okay. I'm tracking his flight now because Carson told me to do that.
Oh.
That's a great
Well, because if he was delayed, why sit at the airport?
Exactly.
Was he delayed?
I have no idea.
It's gonna be
you can just Google the flight number. I'm just telling you.
Or FlightAware.
Do you know that thing where you can put your phone up in the sky and it'll tell you what flights are flying above you?
Oh, this flight's already landed. I gotta go.
Okay, bye.
Take your time. Don't get stupid. Mm. You could be hanging out with your boy. I am like so happy.
Well,
that
guy's sitting there going, oh my gosh, this is just a big joke. No one's here to pick me up. And he's booking a flight and he leaves.
He's
before Patrick
dude,
gets there.
Sitting at the Nashville airport with a guitar, all defeated. Just
he's
like such a meme.
He's got Charlie Browned. He's like, oh, I can't believe I fell for this. And I'd watch that documentary for sure.
But nobody would be there to film it.
Right.
Well, true. It's just like the biggest curveball at the end of your dumb documentary. Isn't the guy... Guy gets the football pulled out.
What was the documentary about the comedian who was supposed to have died and he didn't? Yeah, oh my gosh, they did a whole thing on this guy was like this comedian who was supposed to have died and then he's still around and everybody thought he died 15 years ago.
Oh.
It was the saddest documentary I've ever seen.
It's like when Peter Criss showed up on Sally Jesse back in the 80s because some dude was pretending to be him, but he lived under a bridge. So everybody said Peter Criss from Kiss was homeless. And they get him on. He's like, why are you pretending to be me, man? I don't live under a bridge.
Like they went face to face?
Yeah. It's like it's online somewhere. That's where I saw it. And it's just like, oh, gee, yeah.
Oh,
I'm not dead yet.
Ding.
Bring out your dad.
Well, that's you can follow. Again, if you want to follow Patrick, you can on his exploits for this weekend at Radio Patrick. And listen, if you're in the Nashville area or close to and you want to make the show, man, get your tickets. It's going to be at, where do you say it?
Five? At Radio
the five spot.
At
five
Radio spot. Patrick. If you go on Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, you will find it.
Can I get some swag?
Yeah, get some Flicker Stick swag. We've been making fun of him and Carson. Flicker Stick forever. Remember, we used to make fun of him?
Yeah. We'd be like, we'd ask him to do an event. Are you free this weekend or do you have a Flicker Stick thing?
Can I get some swag?
Oh, geez. Anyway.
All right. Thank you for watching the podcast. For those of you on YouTube, for those of you who are listening, hang on. Tracy Lawrence, new album, Hindsight's 2020, Volume 2. We talk about that and a whole lot more coming up next.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show
at the airport
on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Tracy Lawrence is in the studio with us. Always good to see Tracy. You can find him online.
His microphone's off.
Yes, sir.
There we go.
You can find him online, TracyLawrence.com. Bobby, did you ever find that old song?
Okay, so back in the day, we had you in and we talked about your version of Somebody Paints a Wall. I didn't know it was a remake. Here, I'll play a little bit off the Hindsight 2020.
I'm off and running. I'm barely up. Look around. Every time I get a leg up on the ladder of success, I slip and fall. Like last week out at the factory, I was up for a promotion, but the boss is the call. Seems every time I make my mark, somebody paints a wall.
Just love the love that song. And you told us that it was remade by George Jones, or it was originally made by George Jones. So I went on a quest, man. I went hardcore, full court press, and you're like, I don't even know where I could find that. Well,
on the internet.
I found it. I found it. And it's it's cool. It's so cool.
If my old truck was a horse,
horse
off the shoe.
Oh yeah.
Lord, the day my ship came in, I was waiting for
a we ought to do a whole show of remakes of the original
and the remake, yeah.
I always lose it. I can't enjoy the sunshine.
You guys could do a whole 4 hours on everybody redoing Keith Whitley songs.
There's a whole album full of them to start off with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, isn't this the coolest?
It's a great. And it's George's own version. I didn't record it anything like that.
Seems like every time I make my mark, somebody always paints the wall.
There's been a lot of people that have covered George Jones stuff over the years.
Yeah,
that's a tough, you know, decision to make. You're like, we talked to Mark Chestnut years ago, Tracy and I, about like he did a lot of songs that were remakes, and every time he fought it, like he was like, I can't do that. That's a Bo Cephas song, or I can't do that.
That was Aerosmith song.
Yeah, that was a Keith Whitley song, and somebody talked him into it, and every time it became a number one hit. So.
Finally, you know. I think he said, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Truer words were never spoken.
All right, Tracy Lawrence in the studio, TracyLawrence.com. We'll come back and talk more, Tracy. Tracy Lawrence in studio with us, TracyLawrence.com. It's also Twitter, which I can't imagine he's ever seen.
have you ever gotten on your Twitter?
Years ago, just for a little bit. I don't even know the passwords to my I have a great group of women that take care of my stuff.
Yeah,
they send me things
say,
that they need me to comment on.
I don't think Tracy looks at Facebook or any of that
I
stuff.
I don't.
Yeah.
At all.
You know,
you're living a good life, actually.
My time is much more valuable.
I wanted to bring up something that is really kind of overlooked, I think. You know, we're talking about George Jones, and you know, George Jones has had such a unique sound, and you listen to some of these other artists, and they have... When they're on, like, you know, that's George Strait or that's Trace or whoever.
Yeah,
you're the same way. When you hear your song, your voice, you know that's Tracy Lawrence.
Yep.
And it seems like I hear a lot of new artists come out and they're trying to sing pretty, I guess is a word.
No, I can tell you exactly what's going on, and I hear it all the time. I recently did a little TV special. I won't say where it was, but they Pro Tool afterwards. And when I say Pro Tools, that means they come in and they'll tune your vocals, they'll tweak instruments, do little things when they mix out what they send it out. And they had taken stuff that I meant to sing, and they had hard-tuned it to the positive note instead of little blue notes and little inflections that I do. And that's what they're doing in the studio with these kids. They're hard-tuning them up
makes
to the grid.
Makes everything flat.
And it makes everything sound the same.
Yeah.
It's sucking the personality and the little nuances that make an artist special out of their voice,
like,
intentionally.
Could you imagine what it would sound like if somebody ran George Jones through auto-tune?
No.
It would ruin George Jones.
So there's a guy called Rick Beato that I follow online, guitar player, session musician, all this stuff, and he'll do comparisons sometimes. He'll take old tracks, and then he will go in and he will hard-tune the vocal and show you what an Aerosmith song or a Rolling Stones song would sound like now, hard-tuned. Even Journey, even Steve Perry with his meticulous voice, they would hard-tune him up to the proper notes, and it sounds like crap. You know, the thing is, artists have such a personality with little inflections, whether it's who influenced, you know, the way you twang. I think it's lost its personality. And when you suck the personality of it, it seems to me like you take the soul away from it. Because could you imagine auto-tuning all these blues players with the slides and the imperfections and the things that make it what it is? I mean, could you imagine tuning Stevie Ray Vaughan?
There are some songs, like I remember listening to, I think, Into the Mystic, where it sounds like something's wrong, and but it's also
Van Morrison.
I like it.
Yeah. Van Morrison was not the prettiest singer, but he had great songs.
I mean,
absolutely.
Even the music was off. Like it seemed like it was,
and it makes as an artist when they do that to you, because I've had to try to overcome it. Where you go out, once they tune you away from a comfortable place that you sing, what you do naturally, it's really hard to do it. So you can't reproduce it live. You can't sing that way. It's not the way
you
sing.
Well, that's why a lot of people are using auto-tune live
now.
That's
why people are having voice surgeries a lot, too.
What do you mean?
Because you strain your voice in a way that's not natural to your voice.
Oh, right.
And it causes polyps.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I believe that. I mean, that's just because when you sing wrong, you're putting strain on your body that's not natural. And when you sing with improper technique, you wind up damaging your vocal cords.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting stuff. Tracy Lawrence with us. And make sure you get his, we call it a trilogy, but it's three different albums, and Hindsight 2020 Volume 2, the latest, and looking for the other one to come out soon. So when you are sitting around the house and you like want to, and I don't know, maybe you're just kind of chilling, or maybe you're just sitting around the fire pit at night or something, what do you like to listen to?
Old rock and roll, old classic rock and roll. That's like, kind of my thing. Oh, you know, I love old Zeppelin, love Stevie Ray Vaughan, things like Bad Company, early Genesis. I love old classic rock and roll.
Yeah. Like, what's the oldest country you get into?
Oh, my gosh. Early Glenn Campbell, probably. Not really, you know, maybe a little Hank Williams every now and then. I don't enjoy the production techniques from a lot of that. I did love the Ken Burns series. That was very fascinating to me to go back as far as my own listening pleasure. I don't enjoy the production techniques from back then. I like more.
What do you mean by that?
Like the way they would just have a microphone in the room?
Yeah, I like to hear things slicked out. I mean, I do like that. I think music's come a long way, especially when in the 80s with a lot of the hair bands and stuff. Really got into a lot of the hair bands and stuff.
What's your favorite country song that you didn't record that you wish you had recorded?
19 something, probably. It's right up there.
Mark Man, Wills. I think that's one of the best written songs.
Me too.
Was that pitched to you?
No, I never got it.
Oh, okay.
No. But I've told Mark several times, you better be glad you found it first. I'd cut that.
You better be glad you found that.
You know what's interesting is why has nobody redone that and did a 2000 something?
They should.
I mean, it's time.
Absolutely. And Time Marches On falls in that category too.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that?
Do a cover album. Mm. I've talked about it. It might be one of the next projects I do after we get past this, about going in and taking some of those songs that influenced me when I started out, you know, the George Strait, Merle Haggard stuff, and then doing a few contemporaries, maybe a Brooks and Dunn song, maybe Mark Wills, maybe my favorite
Coldplay.
John Anderson song. I do dig Coldplay, man. They're, you know, I dig them. Not my thing.
Tracy's got a ton of stuff that you can go back, and he's been doing this a couple of years.
Yeah.
And if you are, for those who are fans of Tracy Lawrence, or you know, and now with TikTok, and you're all over the place, man. Like you're picking up new fans.
It's pretty crazy. My TikTok account does pretty good from what they tell me. I don't know.
You know, that's exactly what we wanted to hear you say.
Yeah.
TracyLawrence.com. Check him out. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, brother.